Acts 23, let's go there first. And, you know, there was a group of people that taught that there was no resurrection of the dead. Acts 23, look at verse 6. It says, "But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, 'Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question.' And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both." So which group is it that said there's no resurrection? And that's easy to remember. See? Yeah, you've heard that, right? You heard that in Sunday school, that the way you remember it's the Sadducees is they teach there's no resurrection. When you die, that's it. And that makes you sad, you see. Sad, you see. So that's Sadducees, all right? So, going back to Corinthians, were there? We know that the church of Corinth was a conglomeration of Jews and Gentiles. We know that the church really started right next to the Jewish synagogue. We know that there were Jews in this church and there were a lot of Gentiles. So could it be that some Jews with a Sadducee background were spreading this doctrine that there's no resurrection? We don't know. It might have been. Then again, it may have been some of the pagans in the church of Corinth that were teaching that there was no resurrection. But we know what was going on. We don't know for sure where it was coming from. But go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" So that's the problem. There were people saying there was no physical resurrection. Now, in verses 1 through 11, Paul dealt with the historical validity of the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Christ is not some philosophical idea whereby his spirit lives in our memories. That's what some liberal denominations will teach. They teach there's no physical resurrection of Christ. It's just kind of a spiritual thing, and his spirit lives on in our memories as we remember him. No, no, no. The resurrection of Christ from the dead is a reality of history. You can prove it. So what do you mean? You could go with all the manuscript evidence that we have, okay? You could go into a court of law, and you could use the laws of authenticity that validate historical events. You could apply those same rules that they use in the courtroom, okay, to say you wrecked your car, you know, or say someone stole your car. And you know, obviously you didn't see them steal it, you know, and maybe nobody else saw them steal it. But you would go into the courtroom and through the laws of authenticity validate the fact that, yes, it's a historical event that your car was stolen. Well, you take those same laws of authenticity that they use in a courtroom and apply those same rules to the resurrection of Christ, and you come away with historical certainty that Christ did, in fact, raise from the dead. Now, somebody may debate you over what that event means. You know, somebody, in other words, we may debate over what that event in history actually means. And by the way, only God's word defines the meaning of the resurrection, okay? What it actually means, the Bible defines that. But somebody may argue with you over the meaning of the resurrection. But there's no denying the facts of it. And in verses 12 through 19, Paul is going to move from the historical validity, all the eyewitness accounts, and he's going to move to a very rational approach to the resurrection. It seems that these people in the church of Corinth, they weren't necessarily denying Christ's resurrection, but they were denying the physical bodily resurrection of believers. And so look what Paul reasons. Notice how he's following a logical line of reasoning in this context. Look at verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, okay? And okay, so you say there's no resurrection of the dead. Then is Christ not risen? Look at verse 16. For if the dead rise not, if that's what you teach, if that's what you believe, that dead people don't ever rise again, that there's no resurrection, then what's the natural result of that doctrine? Look at verse 16. Then is not Christ raised. Paul then is great. He's going to rationally lay out for them the implications of that doctrine. Paul basically is saying in this passage, verses 12 through 19, we're going to cover it tonight. He basically is saying here, church, that, okay, look, you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead? Well, okay, then Christ is still dead. And if Christ is still dead and there's no resurrection, then here's what it means to you. And that's what he's going to tell them. Here's the implications of your belief. And every belief has implications, okay? Your beliefs have implications. So he says, okay, if you don't believe Christ rose from the dead, you believe he's still dead, then, okay, here's what it means. Number one, verse 14, it means that our preaching is vain. Look at verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching, say it real loud, what?
Vain.
Okay, now let's just stop there. What does the word vain mean? Good. Empty. What else? Vain. What would vain mean? Ah, that's just vain. What does it mean? Empty. Worthless, somebody said. Yeah. Meaningless. That's right. Now, I want you to think about this. The Apostle Paul preached Christ and his resurrection in Syria. He preached Christ in Asia. He preached Christ in Israel. He preached Christ in Europe. He preached Christ in Greece. And if Christ be not risen, Paul says, you know what? It's all a big waste of time. You know, I think about my own life and how that I spend hours preparing messages from God's Word each week to give to you. Hours. But if Christ be not risen, then you know what? I might as well just quit and go sell cars. Or go sell insurance. Or go pump gas. Or go do something else. You know why? Because listen, folks, and by the way, if Christ be not risen, you might as well stay home and watch TV. Right? I mean, let's just shut the doors of the church and go home. You see, the resurrection of Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. It's what separates Christianity from all the other religious systems in the world. And you know what? Christianity is not a religious system. It's a faith that's built on the historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But if Christ is dead, then there's no need to have a missions program at Crossroads. Our preaching's vain. There's no need to have the Northcutts come to and try to help them get to the Arctic Siberia. If Christ is dead, there's no reason to help the flowers to get back to the Ivory Coast of Africa. If Christ be not risen, there's no reason to help the oryx to get to the field of whales. There's no need to help the Irelands to get back to the Ukraine. If Christ is not risen, forget the missions program. Forget Walk Through Bethlehem. Forget outreach events to our community. Forget the WIN ministry. Forget it all. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is worthless nonsense. That's what Paul says. But aren't you glad Christ is risen? And that our preaching is not in vain. And that's what he's going to lead to, obviously. He's posing this to get them to see how serious this is. That's why he's posing these different things. And the second thing he says is he says, if Christ be not risen, he says, then that means our faith is vain. Look at verse 14 again. He says, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And notice the second thing here. And your what is also vain. Your faith is also vain. Look at verse 17. 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most what? Miserable. You see, the Corinthians had received Paul's gospel. They had trusted Christ as their Savior. And so Paul tells them in no uncertain terms that, hey, guess what? You know what, folks? If Christ is still dead, then you are still in your sins. Your faith is vain. Why? Well, because a dead Savior can't save anybody. Does that make sense? A dead Savior can't save anybody, can't help anybody. If Christ is dead, then we're still dead in our sins. You see, and keep your bookmarker here and go over to Hebrews chapter number 9. Okay, go over to Hebrews chapter 9. And you know, Christ was made sin on the cross. Christ answered sin's penalty on the cross. Not only physically, but spiritually. The second death. He answered them both. The first death and the second death. He answered those on the cross. Through his physical death and through his separation from God spiritually on the cross. God the Father. He answered sin's penalty. Christ bore our sins. Now, I want you to look at something. Look at Hebrews 9:28. It says, so Christ was once offered to bear the what? The sins of many. Okay? And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. And then what's those next two words? Without sin unto salvation. So on the cross, he became sin. On the cross, he bore our sins, Peter said, in his own body. But when he comes back, the Bible says he returns without sin. So those sins that were in his body aren't there anymore. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. So he becomes sin. He bears our sins in his body. He says when he comes back the second time, he comes without sin. So the sin he bore is now gone. In between those two events, the Bible says Christ put away sin. Look with me at Hebrews 9 and verse 26. Go back up a couple verses. It says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. Now here's where it gets good. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared, and I love this, hath he appeared to, everyone say the next three words, put away sin. How did he do it? By the sacrifice of himself. Now listen, look up here and listen very closely. The sin that was placed on him was done away. His death paid all the penalty of sin. It satisfied the righteous justice of God. God's righteous justice and God's wrath was poured out upon Christ. He became sin for us. He took the full wrath of God and the penalty against sin on the cross. Now God can look at us in Christ and God can declare us righteous by our faith in him. Now go over with me now to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. And boy, this is a great passage. He's speaking of Abraham and how righteousness was imputed to Abraham by faith. Romans 4. Let's see. Let's go up to verse 22. Speaking of Abraham. Romans 4:22. It says, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness, to Abraham. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. Now look at this. To whom it, righteousness, shall be imputed. So righteousness will be put on our account if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord. What's the last three words? From the dead. Now look at verse 25, key verse. Who, Christ, was delivered. Okay, he was delivered. In other words, he was delivered. He died. He went to the cross for our what? Offenses. Our sins. But look at the rest of the verse. Here's the resurrection now. He was raised again for our what? Justification. Look up here. In order for God to declare you righteous and just, Jesus had to be raised from the dead. How do I know that Christ's death was satisfactory to the Father? How do I know that? How do I know that my sins have been forgiven and fully paid for? What is the receipt? What's the receipt that says paid in full. The receipt that God puts in your hand that says paid in full is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ was raised up with receipt in hand. And all of his righteousness can now be given to you and to me because he was delivered for our offenses and he was raised up to prove that it was enough. It was enough. If Christ is not risen, do you know whose death he died? If he's not risen, whose death did he die? He just died his own death. And death still holds him, and we're still in our sins. But go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Here's the good news. 1 Corinthians 15. He was raised again for our justification. See, that was the receipt. The resurrection's that receipt that says paid in full. That resurrection is the receipt that says, yep, I can be justified. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:20. If Christ isn't risen, see, he says we're dead in our sins. But I love verse 20. After he goes through all this hypothetical situation to show them the implications of their beliefs, he says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Isn't that good? I love it. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Because it's the resurrection. The reason why we're not still in our sins is because it's the resurrection that says, yeah, it was enough. Yep, what he did on the cross was sufficient. Yep, it's paid for. He put away sin. And the resurrection proves that he did. Amen. Aren't you glad you ain't home watching TV tonight? Amen. We are not dead in our sins. We're alive in Christ. Because Christ is risen from the dead. Oh, that's so good. The resurrection's that receipt that assures me that I'm justified, that assures me God's satisfied, that assures me that it's sufficient, that assures me that his work is complete. People say, what do I need to do to be saved? You don't have to do anything. It's all been done. Amen. How do you know? The resurrection tells me it's all been done. If he wasn't risen, there'd still be something left to do, wouldn't there? Of course, there wouldn't be anything to do. But, you know what I'm saying facetiously. But no, the resurrection proves that what he did was enough. It's the receipt that says paid in full. Can I just share this with you tonight? Because, normally it's just kind of family here. But if your belief system only gives you hope in this life, if your belief system, I don't care what denomination it is, I don't care what religious system it is, I don't care what it is, if your belief system can only give you hope in this brief life, and if your belief system cannot give you a sure hope beyond the grave, then you need to get rid of it because it's no good. Amen. It's no good. Get rid of it. Isn't that what he says in verse 19? Look at it. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. So, what have we covered? Number one, if Christ be not risen, our preaching's vain. Forget the missions program. Forget Walk Through Bethlehem. It's all a bunch of worthless nonsense. If Christ be not risen, he says, then our faith is vain. We're still in our sins. Number three, he says, if Christ is not risen, then this book, the Bible, is full of false witnesses. Look at verse 15. It says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So Paul says, you know what? I listed for you all the people, Peter. I mean, these guys walked with Christ closely. Peter and James and John and the 12 and 500 people at once, and James, his half-brother, and all the apostles and Paul. And he says, you know what? We've all testified that Christ rose from the dead, that we've seen him with our own eyes. But if he is dead, he says, you know what? We're all a bunch of liars. And there are those, by the way, who have proposed a fraud theory concerning Christ's resurrection. They say that the disciples were a bunch of conspiratorial liars and that the resurrection is a hoax. And there's been those who have tried to, you know, and it won't fly in the courtroom, okay? But there's those who have proposed it. But can I remind you tonight that from the very beginning, the claims concerning Christ were public. This wasn't some secret society. The claims about Christ were made public. Any evidence for Jesus' resurrection was open to investigation and challenge. And all the enemies of Christ had to do, think about it. There were a lot of enemies of Christ there right after the resurrection. And all they had to do to stomp out Christianity forever is to what? Just produce the body of Christ. And they had the political power. They had all the power. And they had all the motivation to do it, but they couldn't do it. Nor could they successfully silence the multitude of witnesses that we read about. And the same men, these same guys who were cowering behind closed doors, John 20 says, for fear of the Jews, now they're out there publicly, powerfully proclaiming Christ after seeing the risen Christ. And, of course, these men eventually gave their lives for their conviction that they had seen the resurrected Christ. They gave their lives for it. Go to Acts chapter 1. Let me show you a great verse. This is a wonderful verse. Keep your bookmarker here. And go over to Acts chapter 1. Great verse. Acts 1. This is how the book of Acts starts. Luke, the physician, writes, Luke says in Acts 1, verse 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began, both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself, and what's the next word? Alive after his passion by many, look at this, say it with me, infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom. We're not talking about one fellow over here who purportedly says, oh yeah, I saw Christ, he's risen. Oh yeah, yeah, I saw him. No, no, no. We're talking about evidence upon evidence upon evidence. We're talking about mounds of evidence, okay, of people. We're talking about infallible proofs of people who saw the resurrected Christ. But if Christ be not risen, the Bible is full of false witnesses. Number four, if you'll go back to our text, and I'll finish with this. Number four, if Christ be not risen, it means that our loved ones who died are forever perished. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 18. He says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are what? Perished. If Christ be not risen, guess what? There's absolutely no hope beyond the grave. They dig the hole, put you in, that's it. You're gone. The dead in Christ, Paul said, have perished, never to be seen or heard from again. They are gone into nothingness. It means that all you have is what you have right now in life. What a miserable thought that this is as good as it's ever going to get. You know, for those who don't know Christ, for those who aren't in Christ, this old wicked world is as good as it's ever going to get for them. But I got news for you, Christian. For us, this is the worst it's ever going to get. This is the worst it's ever going to get. But if Christ be not risen, it means all you have is what you have in life right now. What a black hole of despair. One day, you just die. You just die like a dog. You're dead. Just bury you. Paul says there down there in verse 32, just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Live it up. Have a big time. And all that would be true, except for the fact that Christ is risen from the dead. He is alive. And Acts, go back real quick to Acts 17. Grab Acts 17 and let me show you this. All that would be true. Eat, drink, and be merry. Live it up. We only have hope in this life, so have a good time. Well, okay, that would be an okay philosophy, except for there's one little snag in that. And that snag is the resurrection of Christ. Look at Acts 17:31. It says, Acts 17:31, Paul said to the people at Athens, because he hath appointed a day, God's appointed a day, in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. How's he going to do it? By that man whom he hath ordained. Speaking of Christ. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men. In other words, God's given you an absolute assurance that the day of judgment will come. What is the assurance that the day of judgment will come? Look at the end of verse 31. What's the assurance that the day of judgment's going to come? What's the assurance that this isn't it? What's the assurance that when they put you in the grave, that's not the end? Look at it. Look at the end of verse 31. He's given assurance unto all men in that he hath what? Raised him from the dead. You see that tonight? Go to 1 Thessalonians 4 and we're done. 1 Thessalonians 4. Our loved ones are not perished if they die in Christ. In fact, guess what? They're alive more than we are. Can I say that again? Our loved ones who died in Christ are more alive than we are. Because we're in a state of decay. Now, we don't want to admit that. And there weren't many amens when I said that. But we're all in a state of decay, you know. And one day, if the Lord doesn't rapture us, what are we going to do? We're going to all die. We're going to all get sick and die. Aren't you glad you came to church so you could hear all that tonight? But it's the truth, isn't it? I mean, we can laugh about it because it's the way it is. It's just the way we all are. And it's every one of us, from smallest to the oldest. I mean, as far as the last I heard, the death rate's still 100%. You know, so 1 Thessalonians 4, though, notice that our loved ones who died in Christ are not gone into nothingness. He says, verse 13, and boy, wasn't Steve's testimony great tonight? You know, Steve Shrunk, one of our deacons, what a great testimony of him preaching the gospel at his sister's funeral. And what a great testimony that he said he had the peace to be able to preach his own sister's funeral. And he had that peace. Why? Because he knew his sister was with the Lord. And in verse 13 it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that tonight? Yeah. Well, that's the great hope, see, because it says, even so them also which sleep in Jesus. I love the way the Bible will kind of softly puts that. It's a soft way of saying that they're dead. And it's a soft way of saying about our loved ones who have died, they're sleeping in Jesus. And he says, those which sleep in Jesus, look at it, will God bring with him? And it says down there in the end of verse 16, it says that after the Lord descends with a shout, it says, the dead in Christ shall what? Aren't you glad there is a resurrection? Amen. There is a resurrection. Our loved ones that have died in Christ are more alive than we are. Why? How do we know? Because Christ is alive. What do we sing tonight to open the service? Christ is alive. The tomb could not keep him. Though Satan tried, he could not defeat him. Thank you, Pastor Larry. Christ gave his life and 3 days later rose again. Death could never win. Christ is alive. Amen, church. He says, if Christ be not risen, our preaching's vain, our faith is vain, the Bible's full of lies, and those loved ones who have died in Christ are forever perished. But aren't you glad for verse 20? But now is Christ risen from the dead. Amen. Next week we'll dive back into that, and we'll start getting into verses 20, and it just gets better and better, this chapter. So let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight.